B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Well, I guess it's the cigarettes, you know, everyone gets a sneak a cigarette on moving day.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Wow, far out.
Saudi Arabia, party, yeah. Fun.
Ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Yeah.
Invented the computer without finding a computer first somewhere in the woods or somewhere deep in the city or somewhere deep in the ocean or up in the mountain or something, you know. Real nice egg.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can call us at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Young Nicholas is over there controlling that right now. And you can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. That is what it's very confusing to people, if you want to. Tell people, you guys have a podcast? You guys, how do I get the show? Well, get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's all right there. Everything.
You can listen to it live. You get the podcast on there. I mean, it's simple. It's like a one-stop shopping.
That's right, baby. And you can go to 98.5thesportshub.com. It's all right there on a Friday. It was funny. My son has friends over a lot, you know. I guess that's a good thing. And they have come to the conclusion that I am strict. That your own Freddie T, Captain Cool, Fonzie. Mm-hmm. Fonzie in chinos. That's what they call me. And, that I am strict.
What's the thing that they are protesting about?
It's not a protest in so much as that I'll go get upstairs. I don't know what other parents do. But when there are kids over and they're wrestling right in front of you, my house, again, is designed in such that there is not a lot of room in any on any floor.
A lot of verticality in your house.
A lot of verticality. So there is a third floor, which is as big as the first floor, mm-hmm. to which there is a television, a foosball table, couches. My son has a game monitor and his little game system set up there. I mean, it's not much. It's just on the... ottoman, or what do you call that? The coffee table, I guess, upstairs. Mm-hmm. He's got so you can sit on the couch and play games on the monitor. They don't want to be on the TV anymore. That's not what you want, I guess.
Oh, okay.
You want a monitor, which is great because you go, oh, I can buy you like a $100 monitor. Great, no problem. Merry Christmas. Here you go. That's your monitor, I guess, if that's what you want.
Uh-huh.
Give me a small ass screen. Okay, well, if that's exactly what you want, great. You know, not like TVs are super expensive, but it's a difference of, $500. I mean, I was going to get like a... Because upstairs is the one place I could put a really big TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I guess I'm saving a lot of money because if you twisted my arm and said, get a really big TV, I mean, I'd do it. I don't think... Not to sound, Kevin James about the thing or Tim Allen, but I think if you offer a man an opportunity to get a television, you're going as big as possible. Unless you're one of these library people that goes without a TV. But anyway, so I say them, go upstairs. Like, just go upstairs, get upstairs. And apparently, in other houses, that is considered to be very strict. Apparently, other parents are just like wrestle right in front of me.
Yeah, destroy the furniture on the ground floor is what was it, what other parents do?
I guess. And because it's nothing that, like, I don't have rules like don't go out or something like that. You know, I'm just like, go. I don't care. Because that's my style of parenting is that, you know, fail on your own, you know, repair your own mistakes, get to know it. I can't solve your problems.
Now, did you hear that you were strict from your son or from your son's friends?
My son, no, my son's friends, due to my strictness, would probably not dare to say such things.
Oh, okay.
But they went in the hot tub and they broke it, and I didn't say anything to them about it. But like, then I'm like, you can't go in the hot tub anymore. And so, which they do anyway, and I didn't stop them. But like,
so not too strict.
I'm not straight. What's my son thinks it's very funny. My son thinks that it's funny. That's why he told me. He's like, they think that you're strict. And I'm like, and then he started laughing. And I'm like, all right, fine. Just because I'm terse. But I mean, he has one friend that he'll sleep over at the kid's house. And the guy goes to West Roxbury and picks up like Chick-fil-A and adorns the house with it. Or he'll go to like Dairy Queen, wherever the hell there's a Dairy Queen, and go get it for him. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But last night, my son had a game in Dedham, and the Chick-fil-A, I was to get Chick-fil-A on the way home, but the Chick-fil-A is on like a hidden road. The road, did you know what I'm talking about? On the VFW Parkway or Providence Highway or whatever the hell it is.
VFW, yeah.
And Chick-fil-A is on like a service road or something. Like,
Oh, yeah.
It's very, and that is the darkest road on the planet.
What, the VFW?
Oh, at night?
Really?
Oh, it's a whole scene.
I gotta there's parts of it there where there aren't, like, yeah, you're right, where there aren't lights.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, it is. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then I pulled into the Popeyes, and there's, like, 85 cars in it, but my daughter's like, I just want McDonald's. I had my daughter in the car, and you can't get back to the McDonald's. So then I was just got confused and couldn't go. The VFW Parkway is not well-designed at night. They should put more lights up. I don't know why they don't. I mean, it's pitch black, and you can't see. And then there's Chick-fil-A, but there is a... I'm in the Jags, so, I mean, I got ground effects on that thing. I can't take a bumper.
Sure.
I mean, all the neon's going to fly right off if I go over a bumper. Right.
Well, the worst is... I know you're talking about how complicated it is over there in VFW, because it is. I mean, they got those little servers where they... Have you ever, like, been on Route 1? I know you don't go to Saugus.
No.
But that, to me, is the most infuriating of all the roads, because there's that barrier in the middle. Like, you can't just take a left on Route 1 if you're heading north.
Yeah. You have to take a right and take an overpass and come back down. Yes.
And getting on, like back on one from one of those overpasses, it's just a merge situation.
Yeah,
and the
easy.
Traffic is so bad, you are sitting there stuck in that little, you know, four-leaf clover-shaped turn sitting there waiting to go the other direction. And so, like, there's a Taco Bell there, and this is why it's so infuriating, because I come from the south, and I go north, and you have to pass that Taco Bell, and you've got to go, like, 2 miles past it to get off on this, like, cloverleaf
turn. That's the worst.
To get back on, and it sucks. Like, you want to talk about one of the worst designed roads, Route 1, no question. Just throw it in the trash. It's just as bad as it can possibly be. And it sucks, too, because, I mean, really, you're only there when you're hungry. Because it really is the street of a thousand dreams. You've got not only the Loon, but you've got the – it's the closest drive-through Taco Bell, arguably, to the city. There's another one that's in Revere, but the traffic to get Revere is just as much of a nightmare as it is getting to the one on Route 1.
That's – yeah, that having to turn around on, like, the quote-unquote highway thing is ridiculous.
Sucks.
I have the same – that's the same thing. It's the exact same thing as that West Roxbury, except at night – during the day, it's and I didn't even see the Taco Bell because I was but I had a tummy ache yesterday, so I didn't know if I should eat Taco Bell. I didn't want to get a tummy ache again. So I didn't even see the Taco Bell because if I did, I would have obviously been gravitated towards it and it would have been out of my control.
Now, has that Dedham Chick-fil-A, has the line shortened because – ever since the day it opened, that's been the hottest club in town.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can't at any given time of day, it used to be at least for the first, like, what's probably been over like a year and a half now. But for the first, like, 6 or 7 months, I mean, you were at least a dozen cars deep every time that you went.
But you know what I've noticed? And the Chick-fil-A in Natick is the same way. There are about a dozen, 20 cars on that line.
Same in Tennessee.
But they move it quick.
Yeah, they do.
They do the best
fast.
Job of almost any of the best. I mean, they rip you right through it.
Yes.
And you know what? They've even got, I don't know if they still have it, But for a while, didn't they have the guys coming out with like iPads? It would take your
yeah.
order
oh, yeah.
before
oh, yeah,
you even
they
got
do that.
To the window.
Absolutely.
In Tennessee, it's a situation. Yeah, by my parents' house, there's like eight employees out.
Yes.
All with iPads. They're handing out food. Now, it all gets screwed up. But they hand out food. Now, have you ever had a bad experience with something that you endorsed?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so there was a gym that was down there, and oh, Lord, I hope you listened, you pricks. And they had me, I had to go to the dumb gym, and I thought I would be there for 5 minutes, but I was there for like 2 hours, and it was the dumbest concept in a gym. And I'm like, and they ran me around and all this stuff, and then I wouldn't endorse it. I'm just like, this is idiotic, and they were huge pricks, and nobody got paid. And I drove back yesterday for the first time in a while, and it was long gone. And I went, yes.
Yes. I knew it. I could have predicted this.
I said, oh, my God. I said, what a concept you had. Put a bunch of Nautilus machines out there, you unimaginative pricks. And then sit there and tell me. And then it was gone. And I went, I hope you're rotting in debt.
That area is also where I think Adolfo used to take archery, right around there as well.
Oh, all right.
So, you know.
No, that's no, that Brighton, that's a little bit of a, that's a
oh,
lot
I thought
of
buses. I thought you were still talking about Dedham. I'm sorry.
No, I am. I'm saying from Brighton, that's got to be a little bit of a, I mean, that's
oh, it was a 2 hour bus ride. Yeah. It would take him 2 hours to get there from Brighton.
And he didn't, you were going to be there and he didn't tell you he was going. Wow. Yeah. Instead of asking for a ride,
my
you
know, daughter.
He asked me to, so we had to pick something up because we were doing a bit. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll drive out to Dedham. And like, I told him I was going to do it. I sat on the air. I said, all right, I got to drive out to Dedham today to pick up this bow and arrow.
Yep.
And when I showed up, Adolfo was there. And I'm like, dude, if you were coming, you should have just got the thing for me. You know, like, I mean, listen, I don't care what time of the day it is, going from downtown to Dedham sucks. Yeah. It's not, I mean, there's always
my
going
car,
to be
car, it sucks, let alone bus.
Yeah, so Jesus. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, you're here? Yeah, I remember that. I forgot. Thank you for reminding me, because that was somewhat infuriating
and
at the
was
moment.
Hunting in the wild in Weston, remember that?
That's right, for wild pigs, because the pigs were all loose. Yep. He was going to go with his bow and arrow and hunt wild pigs.
Yes, he was.
What do you call the case that you hold your arrows in?
Oh, a sieve? Sieve? It's like an arrow.
It's got some even weirder name.
I don't know.
It does. Oh, and what the hell is it?
Because my daughter takes archery, and it's right next to the house. But it's outside, obviously. What do you hold arrows in?
Thing that holds arrow. A quiver! Yes!
You can't expect me just to get on a bus with my quiver. I'll freak everyone out.
He did. Hang on, he was there. That's how he went. Like, he got there.
I got
there
my quiver.
Yeah, that's right.
They call it quiver for a reason, Rich.
That was the greatest.
It's got everyone shaking and quivering.
Dumbass. It was like a kid's birthday party. It was like a bunch of like 10-year-olds. And at the very end, stall was Adolfo.
Yeah, my daughter's into archery. And I really want to get like archery stuff because I think it would be cool. Mm-hmm. You know, for 5 minutes until I got sick of it. And then, but I figure that if you miss in your backyard, that's no good. Because that's, you're going into the backyard of someone else's house.
And pick off a dog a couple things over.
Yeah, yeah, and beyond that, I think there's, you know, going to retrieve arrows from someone's yard is a little different than practice baseball.
Yeah,
right.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up on the way?
All right, well, we will get to the latest involving the saga of the Patriots and the movement of their game, and I can't wait to talk about what happened on Thursday Night Football last night.
It was a Thursday night party! I forgot it was on. All right, we will be...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right back.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Follow Ken Griffey Rules at Ken Griffey Rules for John Wallach. Rich runs the Toucher and Rich show accounts at Toucher and Rich on Twitter and Instagram. And follow your kid right here, the man that needs no pockets.
Are you over 20K yet? Well, I know you were struggling for that. I know you were 18.5 and you were looking
for 20. I mentioned it on the air a couple times at Fred Toucher on Instagram for all the hilarity. I'm at 18.9. Mm. Ooh, come on, guys.
Bring it up.
Sign up for Instagram. I know it. You know, let's share pictures of our kids and go, hey, we can be like Michael Hurley and go, hey, we went to the pumpkin patch.
You can follow, you know, the Toucher and Rich official one. You get such great pictures as Jake from State Farm in the commercial last night where he has the most hilarious arms of any human being. Have you seen those new Jake from State Farm commercials with the, you know, because Jake from State Farm used to just be this schlubby dude sitting in like a, you know, sitting in just some sort of like a cubicle.
Khakis.
Jake from State Farm is jacked in all the weirdest places. He's got the biceps of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and the forearms of John Wallach. It is the strangest body build that I've ever seen.
It's all about the glamour muscles.
Yeah.
With Jake from State Farm.
They gave him a shirt that's about three times too small. And I'm like, boy, they must have had some focus groups. Like, you know what? I love this commercial, but that Jake from State Farm, not quite jacked enough. Like, we need to make him just way more buff. What do you say? And now all of a sudden now he's just come right out of the gym, but only working on his biceps. That's it. Everything else, he's got like baby arm, except for this gigantic thing shooting out of his sleeves.
Yeah, if I saw him at the gym, I'd immediately be like, all right, dude. Throw out your workout routine. We're doing squats, deadlifts, and presses. Everything else is just, you're sitting here, you're doing, you're doing concentration curls. I mean, yeah, you're like a bad parody song of Motley Crue. You're just curls, curls, curls.
That's right. And nothing else.
Yeah, dude, you need to work your stabilizer muscles. Come on.
Well, it looks like we're getting Monday Night Football Pat Special 2 weeks in a row. So with, of course, the positives that were this week in Foxborough, the league formally announced that barring any more positive COVID tests over the next several days, Patriots will now be playing the Broncos on a Monday afternoon, a 5 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes.
That means Felger and Maz get the day off on Monday with the pregame starting at 2. Lucky bastards.
It's true.
Felger's not going to like that. Felger, you know, he wants to be – he, you know, but what's odd is that they still get credit.
Yeah, I know.
They'll get the ratings credit for having the game on, and everyone's going to be tuned in to 98.5 The Sports Hub while they're out and about, while they're – you know, it's going to be – and they'll get credit. It's just not fair.
3-day weekend for those guys. Mm-hmm. Not fair. Mm, well, not so fair. With the facility closed the last 2 days, the team will once again meet virtually today with hopes of return to the field tomorrow. Bill was asked yesterday about the wrench that this throws into the team's preparation.
Yesterday and today, right now, we're closed and we're going to work virtually to prepare for Denver and just take it day by day. So that's really about the best I can give you. Not really all there is to say the truth.
And, you know, this is one of those times where I don't think Bill's being evasive. I think just a lot of these teams are kind of in the dark, and everyone's just floating by the seat of their pants. You know, you tell us what to do next, we'll do it. We're just going to prepare like we normally do, but we don't know. And I think until that announcement was made, the teams probably didn't find out much earlier before we did as the public. But it was also announced that the Bills-Titans game has officially been moved. Now, that was originally scheduled for this Sunday, and it's been temporarily moved to Tuesday at 7 p.m. We got Tuesday night football, baby. So that means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but more than likely not Thursday now. So if there's a decent chance that if that game isn't played, so here's how it's going to work. There's a decent chance that game isn't played at all. If Tennessee continues to have more players test positive in their outbreak, which, by the way, 23 members of the organization have now tested positive. But if that game is played on Tuesday, the Bills-Chiefs game that was supposed to be on Thursday will now be this weekend. And they have not ruled out Saturday night football.
Yeah.
So you might have...
to ignore.
I know. It all seems so strange, but they've got to do what they got to do. And it looks like – so once again, this morning's going to be important. If there's a positive COVID test tomorrow and maybe the next day for Tennessee, then that game doesn't get played at all. And then you're going to end up having Thursday night football more than likely. If everything's clear, you got Tuesday night football, and then the next Bills game is moved to next weekend.
I don't like Zoom. They're working virtually. I hate it. It doesn't work for me. It works for my children. It doesn't work for me. I was supposed to be on a group meditation last night that I had cleared my schedule for, and then I can't get on it. Everything I click says not allowed, not allowed, not allowed. They're keeping you out. I'm texting with the guy. Get on. Let me on. And I couldn't get on. I don't like it. I don't like the whole thing.
The worst thing about it, Fred, is that there has been an acceptance and a shift that has gone from the expectation that last year you would do something that was on a phone call, and now everyone wants to do it on Zoom. Yeah. And like there was something I had to do for my kid's school that last year was just a phone call, but this year they wanted to do it on Zoom. And I'm like, nothing's changed. It's the same conversation. Yeah. Like this is we never had to be face-to-face. It's like right. The insistence on people like wanting to do FaceTime with you. I'm like, no, I'd rather not.
I don't really use FaceTime. Yeah, what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. But yes, the Zoom is I don't care for it. No.
Yeah, not the best. Well, speaking of the Chiefs and that Chiefs game, a head scratcher for Monday night's Patriots Chiefs game. Reportedly, the Patriots requested additional locker room space at Arrowhead in order to maintain the social distancing COVID-19 protocols, which by the way, the NFL had set up, but they were denied that request. According to Mike Florio, he said yesterday that per league source, the Patriots asked for more space and the request was declined. Now, I think I saw Scott Zolak on Twitter yesterday say that Arrowhead already has one of the smallest visitor locker rooms in the league. So for the NFL to feign that they are doing everything to keep people safe and then deny a team that just had a player test positive appropriate room to properly apply the protocols that the league themselves mandated is just so NFL, and none of us should be surprised by any of it.
I don't care.
I mean, it's the hypocrisy of the NFL. It's like, oh, well, you have to do this, this, this. Well, then they go, all right, well, for that to happen.
Maybe they just ran out of rooms, man. Arrowhead's not a new building. I mean,
it's games. Everyone, couldn't keep their hands off their privates about the old garden and how crappy it was. Now Auerbach kept the heat on.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, Kansas
building
City.
Building was falling down at the end.
Yeah, when Kansas City built it, they probably built it deliberately to have crappy visiting locker rooms. I mean, that's what you did back then.
I'm betting that the Chiefs just ran out of room. I don't think this is an anti-Patriot thing. I don't know this for sure. I'm just guessing. But Arrowhead's been around for, what, 40, 50 years?
Well, you've seen how some of these stadiums have been dealing with it. Like, there's, double locker rooms. If you watch Hard Knocks, rooms that weren't locker rooms have now been turned into locker rooms. Matter of fact, there's some things that have been done out in the hallways. I mean, there's no, fans or people walking around anymore.
Right.
So there's actual lockers out in the hallways in some of these places. And I forget what the other place was or the other stadium was that Zolak had mentioned, but I guess it's just well known that Arrowheads is tiny in the first place. So there you go. Access to request denied by the NFL for that to happen. So
listen,
good for them.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, when we get back after John Wallach's headlines, Tom Brady does the most un-Tom Brady-like move that could have cost them the game last night.
It did cost them the game last night.
Well, I don't see. We're going to have it. Well, there's a discussion about
that's
whether.
That's fine. I'll discuss it with you, but it did cost them the game last night.
You can say it cost them the game, sure, but the play was one that you would have done anyway, even if you knew, if you know what I mean.
I disagree.
But that's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Touch Her Rich. Touch Her Rich. Touch Her Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Phony rappers who do not write. Phony rappers who do not excite. Phony rappers. Check it out, all right? Yo, I was riding the train, and this Puerto Rican kid said, civil and plain, let's battle. It kinda took me by surprise, cause the brother was moving with his eyes on the prize. I said, screw it, I ain't got nothing to lose, but I got to do this shit real quick, so hurry up, kid, bust your joints, and then I bust mine, then I'll be out, cause I got to see this hind. He said, okay, yo, check it out, blah, 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 that's what he said. Then I came back and just f***ed up his head, cause yo, he thought an MC who was seen on TV couldn't hold the shit down in New York City.
Hey, yo, oh, boy. All right, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Sometimes they come fast and furious.
Can't get them all.
You can't get them all, Fred.
As Phony Rappers, that is from my Spotify playlist, the Funk Friday playlist. You can get a link for that, I guess, on my Instagram, at Fred Toucher. And people are like, oh, yeah, you're making a joke about getting... followers on your Instagram. No, I want followers on my Instagram. That's what I want. That's why I plug everyone's Twitter and Instagrams on this show. I want followers, baby. You got to have a social media presence. That's what I'm saying. All right, Rich. Last night there was a football game.
Yes, and how funny is it that Nick freaking Foles is 2-0 against Tom Brady?
Snap back, Foles going to go to the end zone to Graham. One-handed catch. Left corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Bears. Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That
was pretty fantastic. Nick Foles couldn't have looked any worse at the beginning of the Bears-Bucks game last night. I mean, just overthrowing guys by a mile who were wide open. It was a disaster. But then he helps the Bears score two quick ones at the end of the first half, and it was an all-new ball game. On top of that, we got to see Brady lose his stuff on the sidelines. In the third quarter, the Bucs offense faced, what, like a second and 27? Yeah. There was a first and 30, a third and 27, yeah. And Brady had had enough. It was everything that we thought was going to happen when he went to Tampa Bay. Brady infuriated with an undisciplined team, unlike the Patriots. And Fred, we saw it all just unfold in front of us last night, John.
It was fantastic. I can't remember him throwing a tantrum like that. It's been at least a decade.
Well, it didn't take a scientist. This was what was going to happen. I mean, the minute that he went to a non-disciplined organization, just like everyone else, and this is going to be fun. I mean, it's Brady in an undisciplined organization.
Tons of false start penalties, including one by the running back who was standing next to him in the shotgun.
I mean,
on the other hand, it's a Patriots team without Brady. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys adapt, because it's never going to get better for Brady.
That's a fun. First of all, I mean, when that team is firing on all cylinders, I mean, they're amazing to watch.
The offenses, yes.
Yeah, you saw it last week in that second half of, or last game, rather, this past weekend in the second half. I mean, they were just
First quarter last night.
You're right, absolutely. And that was with, like, you know, Mike Evans being hurt, and who else was hurt on the team? Running back.
Is it Fournette?
Yeah, Fournette. Fournette's, you know, playing hurt as well, and they still were a machine. But with a minute and a half to go, down by two, Brady gets the ball back. Awful clock management by the Bears. Just the worst. Instead of running out the clock, they had control of it. They were working their way down the field in order to get a field goal to go up by two. And, like, Nagy ends up, like, calling a bunch of passing plays. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you killing the clock? Do you know who's on the other side there? A guy who made a career out of the two-minute drill and driving it down the field to win. So you knew that this was something that Brady does, and he does well. That's why it was so shocking that he instead ended up doing something that Brady never does.
Bucks playing without Godwin, without Watson, fourth down and five. Brady, pass is broken up, incomplete, and the Chicago Bears are going to take over. DeAndre Houston Carson was there for Chicago.
I don't know, Brady, the way Brady reacted and hold up his fourth, I think he thought it was third down.
And Brady's still standing out there. But that's fourth down, and it's Chicago's ball. And that's the end of the night, and there may be some confusion out on the field. And Brady's finally being told that's it.
On the Bucs' final play of the game, Brady didn't know it was fourth down. When the play was over, Brady wouldn't leave the field. He was like, all right. And he held up like his four fingers as if to say, hey, what's going on? You refs are nuts. We got one more play.
He knew better than everyone. He
everyone was like,
I guess Arians didn't say anything into his helmet. I guess that you know, there was some confusion. It's not the Patriots anymore.
It's amazing to watch, to actually see that happen. Because I will admit, I woke up and saw it this morning. Mm-hmm. Brady had the ball on his own 40 with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I saw it this morning too.
Okay, there's no doubt in my mind he completes two passes and goes and wins the game. They kick a field goal and Tampa wins the game. He threw a deep post down the center of the field on 4th and 6. He clearly denied the hell out of it afterwards, but he clearly forgot.
To someone who was completely immersed in coverage. I mean, not open for a moment.
Yes. Yeah. The guy on top of him. Yes. But Brady tried to force it in because he knew he had another down in his mind. So that's okay. You know, this may not be complete, but I'll get another shot at it.
I still don't think it's the worst play that he could have run. I mean, granted, he obviously thought it was
the
third
down. He threw the ball deep into coverage. That was a terrible throw.
It was for a first down. I mean, I understand. I know what you mean. I mean, no, it was to the wrong guy.
It could have hit the defender in the back. Yeah. I mean,
it's a play you don't even make if you think it's third down. So I just it was a bad
throw.
It was a bad throw.
Pass. No.
So Brady at that point had to slowly take the walk of shame off the field. It was awesome because he was standing there for what, John, about 20, 30 seconds?
Yeah, with his fingers up. No, it's fourth down now. No, you're done for the evening.
He threw an iPad, but I wonder if he got back to the sideline and started playing one of those brain games to try to get his brain back.
Well, him and Brian Hoyer ended up having a phone call afterwards like, dude, I thought we had another timeout. Dude, I thought we had another down. All right.
the juxtaposition of Brady just flipping out and screaming at everyone and then making a mistake like that is very funny to me.
It was awesome. By the way, also, Brady didn't shake Nick Foles' hands while leaving the field.
I'm not sure if
that's a COVID thing or he's just being a dick, I'll let you choose.
That has nothing to do with COVID.
In all seriousness, I'm being dead serious. There is no way Brady thinks he can get COVID.
There's no way he thinks he can get it. Well, he's kind of postured that way on his social media. It's like, dude, we can't live in fear, and I've got this immune stuff. He needs to take some of that brain juice or whatever he's got after yesterday's game. He's not being a very good salesperson for that. Oh, Fred, no. Of course. I mean, do you remember after the whole outbreak, he was trying to sell his like immune booster and everything? It's like, hey, in the light of everything that's going on, here you go. The doctors can't figure it out, but I have, and me and Alex.
Yeah.
So get the brain juice and get the immunity juice. But
there's no way. So the whole idea that that was COVID-related is absolute nonsense.
No, that is just immense butthurt. Well, Brady was asked about how he lost track of downs after the game.
Was it clear for you guys whether it was third or fourth down on that last play?
Yeah, we just you're up against the clock and you're up against the – I knew we had to gain a chunk, so I should have been thinking more first down instead of chunk on that down. So.
You didn't answer the question, dummy. Well, surprisingly, the one guy who seemed to have Brady's back after the game was the same guy who threw him under the bus earlier this season, Coach Bruce Arians.
Bruce, at the end of the game there, that last drive, it looked like Tom might have been confused with what down it was. Did he not know it was fourth down?
Yeah, he knew. He knew.
Yeah, sure. Of course did. That's why he stood up there with four fingers and wouldn't leave the field for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But Arians, I guess, learned his lesson. He's like, I can say anything bad about Brady now. But Joe Thomas, he was on the NFL Network, and he enjoyed being able to rip on Brady for a little bit.
Well, it's obviously surprising. You don't expect Tom Brady to have any mental errors. The greatest quarterback of all time, the most cerebral quarterback that we may have ever seen. You don't think he's going to make a mistake like that because that affects your decision-making down the stretch. If he would have known it was fourth down, he may not have gone for such a long pass down the field. Sometimes things are open a little bit closer to the sticks, and you don't have to take that risk. It was a little bit of a surprise for Tom Brady to lose track of what the exact down was, because that's not the Tom Brady we're used to seeing.
Well, how funny is this? Other than Nick Foles, the only other quarterbacks with multiple wins without a loss against Tom Brady are Jake Plummer, who's 3-0, Brian Greasy, who's 2-0, and Cam Newton at 2-0 as well. So, nice little brain fart. I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of people who hate Tom Brady dancing on his grave this morning, because it's already a meme, him standing up on the field with the four fingers up. It's already gone viral. So, that was a good game to watch, though. It was fun. I mean, no one knew what the hell was going to happen. All of a sudden, Foles went to the worst quarterback of all time to looking like Big White Nick.
After the first quarter, that game wasn't fun to watch at all.
I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed the whole thing. I thought it was great.
He had some Grateful Dead kind of shenanigans on his head Foles did on the sidelines.
Yeah, yeah, the hat. Like, they gave him, like, a hippie hat, which was fantastic. But, hang on. You're telling me you didn't enjoy watching Tom Brady flip out on the sidelines?
No, that was...
The game was great.
I watched the first half and then watched the highlights this morning. Watching the second quarter, I almost fell asleep. It was not good football at all. Foles was horrible for the balance of the evening.
But that second quarter when Foles just started going nuts. It's like, I don't know. It was like, you know, Monstars all of a sudden got out of their bodies. No.
He completed seven straight passes, none of which were for longer than like 5 yards.
That Jimmy Graham pass was insane.
Yeah, Graham bailed him out. He had to reach back and grab it. I guess my point is Foles completed 30 passes for like 250 yards last night.
Pretty much.
I mean, he wasn't lighting things up.
He was the worst quarterback in the league until he wasn't.
Dink and dunk his life away. I mean, he wasn't dominant. It wasn't a dominating performance.
Oh, he's got to hate Nick Foles.
Of course he does.
The fact that he
lost to a team that had Nick Foles on it, and it was his own fault that it happened. Yes, of course he's angry.
Poor Foles, he had his silly hat, and he was all excited about himself, and then he walked on the field, and you can see Foles because they have a camera on him, and you can see it this morning, and Foles is walking around looking for Brady. Brady's in a huff.
That's right.
He's gone.
Brady's just in a huff.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All that fake
asked
hair
him about
on his head.
That. Did anybody ask him about that? Jim Gray. Come on. That's your next time you sit down with one of these heartbreaking interviews. I need you to ask him why you didn't shake Nick Foles' hand.
Tom, where'd you get your hair, Tom? Because I didn't know you could have so many procedures. My goodness. Because now his hair looks almost... Because he has a haircut now, which is... He has the same haircut as my son, which I always think is funny. And, like, he has it parted over, and it's obviously dyed a little bit, but it's, I'm like, where'd you get the hair? Because if you go through his pictures, I mean, at points he was balding pretty severely.
Yep.
And now it's just...
luscious.
I mean, that can't all come from the back of your head.
You think it's, like, butt hair or something?
Guerrero probably gave him pubes. Guerrero's probably just like, what do you want? Here's a sack of pubes.
You get that delivered, do you?
Yes, it's the TB12 sack o' pubes.
For $299.
Wouldn't that be funny if he all of a sudden he just had Edelman pubes on his head? Like, all of a sudden he looked like Jonah Hill.
That's right. Edelman calls him, I volunteer, Tom, if you need some.
Yeah, you just had, like, him and Roger Daltrey are just walking around with the same haircut.
Roger Daltrey.
Pube head. Old pube head.
It's a good call.
That's called the Joey Slotnick.
Yeah. Oh, don't be messing with my guy Slots. That's not funny.
Joey Slotnick, we need like a funny friend that's never going to get laid. Can do.
Well, technically he was married in The Single Guy, right?
Yes, he was married to that hot Asian lady.
Ming-Na Wen, yes. Yes.
Joey Slotnick. You know Slotnick has a hose on him, too.
Oh, sure.
Because God don't taketh away that much.
That's a good point. No, you got to have it
balance
somewhere else.
There's balance in the universe.
True. You're right about that.
You get a face like that, you're walking around with a hammer.
Hey, very successful actor, my man Slotty.
Yeah, you know what? Every show needs a foil. You know, they need a guy. All right. When he plays a bad guy, you're like... What are you doing? He was on Dexter. He was a bad guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Oh, he was? Oh.
Yeah. And he was very convincing. I have to give it to Joey Slotnick. All right. We'll be back. We have some fun stuff coming up for you. Rich has found a brand new recording artist.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.